Grace and peace to you from our God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Amen. So we've been reading through this fall the history of the kingdom of Israel, beginning with the ancestors through the Exodus from Egypt, and then the kingdom that began with King Saul and David. It's a history of kings and prophets. And we've read about when the kingdom was divided into two. So we have a northern kingdom of Israel and a southern kingdom of Judah. In the year 722 BC, the northern kingdom was defeated by the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom kind of goes along on its own. But the kings are moving farther and farther away from God and the worship of God. Manasseh and Ammon are kings after the prophet Hosea, and they almost completely leave behind the worship of the God of Israel, worshiping the different cults. And Manasseh even sacrifices his own son to achieve his goals. And so the people have just fallen into this deep unfaithfulness. And then in the year 640 BC, Josiah comes to the throne at the age of 8. Josiah is a completely different story, a picture of the ideal king. Finally, after all these centuries from King David, we have another king who is faithful to God and wants to live in the old ways. In the 18th year of his reign, he decides to rebuild the temple, to rebuild this place where the worship of God is centered. And so he sends his secretary, Shaphan, to the priest to gather together all the money so we can do this building project. And so the secretary goes and he's talking to the priest, and the priests gather the money and they say, oh, by the way, we found this book. So what happened for those generations to the book of the law, which is the center of the covenant between God and God's people? Perhaps it was simply lost, so forgotten by the people that the priest forgot it was there, or maybe they had hidden it away from Manasseh, from Ammon, from those very unfaithful kings who were hostile to the following of Yahweh. And so maybe it's been hidden, and the priests decide, now maybe is a time to pull this out. So they give it to the secretary, and he reads the book of the law, and then he comes back to the king, and he says, okay, we have the money for the temple. I always love that part. Finding this book of the law, the first thing he does is report on the building project. We might know a little bit about that. And oh, by the way, the priest found this book. And so he reads this book of the law to King Josiah, and the king rents his clothing. It's a sign of repentance and mourning, grief over what has been lost for all these generations, repentance over all the wrong that's been done, even unknowingly by him. He didn't have this law, this code, and so he's repentant, and he decides he's going to take the people back into this full worship of God. And so he goes to Huldah, the prophetess, just take note, a woman chosen as a prophet of God. But she tells him, no, it's too little, too late. Too many generations of this Israel have been unfaithful, have flirted with other nations for their security, and the wheels are in motion, and there will be this punishment, this exile is still to come. But Josiah himself will not have to experience that. So those are the words of the prophetess, but Josiah still decides to commit himself to this reform. He begins wiping out the pagan cults and renewing the worship of God. And the first thing he does is gather all the elders, all the leaders of the people, and as many people as he can gather there, and he reads them, or has read to them, this law of the covenant. Now, if you remember earlier this year, the stories of how Israel began with King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant, the place where the covenant of the Ten Commandments was held, into the city of Jerusalem. And it was a sign that this covenant with God was at the center of his kingdom of Jerusalem. as the ark had been at the center of the encampment all through the years in the wilderness, now it's right at the center of the city and the kingdom. They will center their lives on their covenant with God. Josiah wants to place the law, the book of the law, in the center in that same way, to call people back to God, not only in worship, but in their commerce and their family and all the parts of their lives. As the book of the law, if you've read Deuteronomy and Numbers and all those books of all those 600 and more laws, there are laws for every little piece of your life, right? That define what it means to be the people of God. It's not just worship. It's everything you do that defines you as the people of God. And Josiah wants to bring that back into the life of his people. The reading ends by saying that Josiah made a covenant to follow the Lord, and all the people joined with him in this covenant. And it says these words: keeping God's commandments, his decrees, and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul. Do those words ring a bell? Remember that we read earlier this fall the Shema, the core statement of faith of the people of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. That is what Josiah wants to bring back to the people. So I got a little ahead of myself with the slides, but as people of the Reformation, this is Luther's seal, if you don't know this picture, this story hits a chord with us. This idea of reform and renewal hits a chord among the people of the Reformation. Martin Luther also wanted to begin a reform centered on Scripture, on the Word of God. And he wanted to bring the people back into that relationship with God being the primary thing in their lives, that they would trust only in God in their lives. Luther wanted to bring them back to the main thing, make the main thing the main thing. And Luther taught the three solas, the three onlys of the Reformation: grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. And that is enough to center our faith and our lives in God. So today we are gathered for our celebration of ministries, when we celebrate all the wonderful things that we do here together. And also for our congregational meeting, immediately following this worship, we will have a meeting to look at some of the business of the congregation before we go and celebrate with our potluck lunch. And this story reminds us as well in the life of this congregation to keep the main thing the main thing. We have some hard decisions facing us as we look at the budget for next year. But we also see God's faithfulness to us in the ways that we have always come through the challenges we've faced. And in the faithfulness of all the people sitting here who do so many amazing things for God and for one another in this place. And so we can go forward keeping God at the center, holding on to what is essential: grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. As we look for the next faithful step to take as a community of faith, we move forward loving God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and loving our neighbors as much as we love ourselves and one another and this congregation. And we know that in that faithfulness, God also will be faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.